Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Glad you tuned in. Welcome to Hour 2. And so if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour, and it was with you. You were my special guest. We do this back by popular demand, the Spiritual Reset Program. And first hour, we addressed worry, waiting, and wondering about when we worry about circumstances that are plaguing us, when we're waiting, and we're in that not yet season, we're waiting for God to deliver on His promise, and when we're wondering about the future. And the great thing is that program will be up in podcast in just a little bit, so you can grab it when it works for you. Sit down with your Bible and a journal and a cup of coffee and just do a spiritual reset on your perspective, on your faith perspective, on the fact that God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. You can find the whole program up in a little while on our website, myfaithradio.com. Well, this next hour dovetails very nicely with the whole spiritual reset, because when you're in a season of waiting and there are things that God intends to work out in you that you don't even realize, this season matters so much. What you tell yourself about God in this time, what you tell yourself even about yourself and your circumstances matters so deeply. So we're going to look at that season of life in more in depth. And I got to tell you, my second hour guest, Charlotte Gamble, I first learned about her at a couple of my own speaking events. I was speaking out at Faith Assembly in South Carolina, and the girls talked about how Charlotte's ministry deeply impacted them. And then here in Minnesota, I've spoke at River Valley, and they've got a big Sparkle conference that Charlotte's spoken at there as well. And I thought, okay, it is about time we get this dear girl on our program and hear from her ourselves. Well, she's got a brand new book out titled The Miracle in the Middle, Finding God's Voice in the Void. Let me tell you about her, and we'll get her on the program. Charlotte Gamble's an author, speaker, and pastor with a passion for building the local church and strengthening leaders. She and her husband, Steve, lead Life Church in England, where they live with their children. Listen to these names, Hope Cherish and Noah Brave. You can find her on the web at charlottegamble.com. Dear Charlotte, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me on. It sounds like it's about time we connected.
Indeed, it is about time we connected. You are for sure. As I'm just looking at your book, I'm like, okay, yeah, she's a sister of my heart, for sure. So honored to meet you, and I know we're talking across the miles here. So appreciate you making time for us, Charlotte. And we love to start out every conversation every single day with God's Word. And the reason we do this is if the Lord is giving you a scripture that He's just speaking to you about and you share it with us, it just brings His Word to life. And so wondering, either do you have a life verse or just a verse that you've been pondering that you can share with us today?
I think probably one of my life verses would resonate with most of your listeners, and it's Matthew 11, verse 28 in the Message Bible. And it starts out by saying, are you tired? Are you tired and worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? And then it says the most crazy thing. It says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life, and I'll show you how to take a real rest. And then it says, walk with me and work with me, which I always found very interesting that God would put rest and work in the same sentence. But I come to realize that a lot of people work for God, but they don't necessarily work with God. And he goes on to say, if you'll work with me, I'll teach you the unforced rhythm of grace for your life. And for me, that's become an absolutely foundational verse for my life and journey, because I think too many people are trying to copy other people's lifestyle, copy other people's rhythm. And, you know, the fact is, it's like God's a dancing coach, and we all have a rhythm for our own journey. And if we could just find the right rhythm for our life, we'd find that there's a grace that comes with that. Some people are a tempo, you know, a tango tempo with God. Others are a waltz. And if we'd stop comparing and find our own rhythm, then we'd also find the grace to do what we need to get done. So for me, that always blesses me. When I think I'm out of sync, I'm like, I think I've lost the rhythm for my own life. I need to go back and discover it again.
Yeah, and it really mirrors and echoes the song that he's singing over you. And I got to tell you, just released a book just last week called Your Sacred Yes, and it's exactly about that, that it's so between you and the Lord, and it's an ebb and a flow. And in his yes, there's always an element of rest. And it just actually makes no sense when we compare compare our stories to each other because you're in a different season than me. And so obedience for you might be to run and obedience for me might be to rest. And so we completely lose focus when we're looking at each other, don't we?
Absolutely. And I think that's a trap of, you know, in a day where there's so much social media and so many things that you can use as a comparison tool, we have to be so careful of that even more in this day and age than we have at any other time in history.
No, that is so true. So, Charlotte, give us a little backstory, if you would, on your faith journey, how you came to Christ and when you were all in. Maybe that happened all at once. Maybe that didn't for you. Maybe that was just a critical moment in your life. But talk about that.
Well, for me, my parents fell in love at school, and they had me out of wedlock when they were just teenagers of 15 and 16, which is a miracle in itself that, you know, they're still together, love God, serve God, and have four daughters, of which I'm the eldest. So I was brought up with parents that were saved in school by a school teacher, and so church for me became my background, became my upbringing, and over that course of time I gained my own relationship with God and found my own faith in God. And really, when I was in my early teen years, 13, 14, I really felt a sense of the call of God on my own life and began to search out what that looked like and what that would be as I furthered on in my journey. So for me, being around the things of God is not unusual, but for me, discovering it for myself was a journey that I had to go on from about my teenage years onwards.
So beautiful. I love how God woos us. And Charlotte, you responded, and look what God is doing in your life now. It's just amazing and beautiful. Well, tell me about this. What was the catalyst for you to write the book, Miracle in the Middle?
Well, I had somebody say to me recently, you know, what inspired you? I said, well, probably it wasn't inspiration, it was frustration.
Sometimes they're the same.
If I'm honest, as a pastor and as someone that spends a lot of time in leadership, I kind of got a little frustrated with seeing so many people be lost to the fight of our faith and be lost in kind of their journey in this section of all of our journeys that I've termed the middle. And what I mean by that is when you begin anything, whether it's a marriage or it's having children or it's a business or it's a ministry or it's writing a book or whatever it is that, you know, you put your hand to do, at the beginning you're full of vision and you're full of faith and you're excited and you feel, yes, this is going to be awesome, and so you make the commitment. And then when you finally complete it, when you hand the manuscript in, when you finally graduate, when you get the keys, there's a joy that comes with completion, the Bible says. But there's this massive period in between called the middle in every area of our life, in our marriages, in our businesses, where many people just never make it through. They get stuck there, or even worse, they begin to live a life that says, you know, the middle is my forever stopping place, when actually it's a passing through place. And I kind of got frustrated, and I just thought the enemy's winning too many battles here. He's getting the best of too many people that in the middle give up, feel disappointed, feel like they've failed, when actually they're halfway through the story, the full story's not being told yet. So I wanted to write a book to say, hey, there are miracles in the middle for all of us.
Oh, I love that. And you're so right. As you're talking, Charlotte, I'm thinking, you know, of the passage, don't grow weary in doing good. In due time, you'll reap a harvest. And there's so much in Scripture about the necessity for us as believers to have perseverance, to have endurance. In fact, we can't mature in Christ without it, can we?
Absolutely. I think it's one of these things that we know we should have, but oftentimes we don't realize we don't have it until we're in the middle. And so for me, I wanted to say, you know, I think people that are in the middle right now, as they're listening in the middle of a bad marriage situation or in the middle of a struggle financially, you know, it's so easy to think, oh my gosh, I'm alone in this, you know, I can't find my breakthrough in this. But I think I wanted to write a book to say, you know what, in the middle, there is actually some of the greatest things that you can ever discover about yourself and God happen in the middle. So actually it's a time to be excited about, not a time to be depressed.
Indeed. In fact, what I talked about first hour in the spiritual reset is so often we fixate so much on the breakthrough, on the thing and the desire of our heart, the not yet. Once I get it, I'll be okay. But the truth of the matter is, even that answer, that breakthrough, is flawed in itself. So let's say you're single and you long to be married. Well, that's a blessing, but with marriage comes its own struggles. Let's say you want to own your own business and you finally get to. Well, then it has its own struggles. And in that time in between that I've learned, Charlotte, in my own journey, is that's an invitation to intimacy with God. And what we find in the Lord in that in-between time is not the consolation prize. It's actually the treasure we were looking for to begin with. Have you found that as well?
Absolutely. There's a tagline I think I use in the book that many people have quoted back at me after they've read it and said that really stuck out. And I just say, you know, in the middle is when you discover what's in the middle of you. And I think that's probably one of the most vulnerable parts of the middle, but one of the most amazing breakthrough parts of the middle, because really we can all sing the song about faith. We can all pray the prayer. We can all quote the scripture. We can have the fridge magnets with the promises on them. But in the middle, you find out whether it is just a fridge magnet or it's an actual value that you live your life by. And so sometimes in the middle, we have our biggest wake-up call as to the work that we need to be doing. And also we have an understanding of actually for some of us just how far we have come and how strong we can be in those middle moments.
Mm, so good. Well, here's a quote from your introduction. Every one of us travels through life with an inner child in the back seat, an impatient passenger that dwells within as we travel our paths, pursuing the destination we believe we've been called to discover. And that's just the truth, because we don't like to wait, especially in this quick fix society. So how does the believer, the follower of Christ, deal with that impatient inner child in the back seat going, are we there yet? How do we navigate that so that we can renew our mind and fix our eyes on the things that God invites us to?
Well, I think we have to. I think there's several ways we can do that. You know, there's several things you can do in that those middle moments that stop you becoming that impatient child. I think one of them is you have to understand that you're committed to a long haul. You know, not everything's going to be fixed overnight. And I think the wisdom and the understanding of that will stop you getting frustrated at some of the places that maybe you're frustrated at now. You know, I've been with my husband 23 years, and, you know, he's an amazing man. But there's been years in our marriage where I've been like, really? Is this what it looks like? I'm not sure I can make it. But then I have to remember, hey, this is a long haul. This is just maybe a bump in the road this year. We've got to work through it. We've got to navigate it. We've got to talk about it. We're going to be stronger through it. I think if we're always looking for the prize all the time, then I think we miss the lessons along the way. So I think just like you'd pacify a child in the back of the car with a long journey, you take things to make the journey easier. You take maybe a device that's going to pacify some hours, or maybe some snacks that pacify the hours. I think we've got to spiritually build our life with enough sustenance and enough things that we've packed for our journey, so that when we are in those middle moments, we're not like starving. We have encouragement for our soul we packed. We have scripture that we're standing out we packed. We have things that we can do in those middle moments that feed our soul to keep us going to the end destination.
Oh, such good word. Here you also write, and though we may start out with high expectations, excited by the undiscovered potential that awaits us, we get stuck attempting to navigate problems more often than we find ourselves attaining promises. I want to say that again. Though we may start out with high expectations, excited by the undiscovered potential that awaits us, we get stuck attempting to navigate problems more often than we find ourselves attaining promises. This is, I think, where we get worn down in the middle, in the land in between, basically, by, as you say, reacting to the problems versus responding to the promises. Maybe speak to that person listening today, Charlotte, who's like, okay, you got me. All I'm doing in this land in between and why I'm losing perspective is it's like whack-a-mole. I'm dealing with one problem after the other.
Right.
How do I shift my gaze to attain the promises?
Yeah. I think that I've seen that happen so many times. You know, it's like somebody that has a crisis and then people rush in and everybody's trying to, you know, fix it, but nobody really knows what they're trying to fix. But then the difference is shown when a first responder shows up, when one of those units show up and they have exactly the right tools to diagnose the problem and fix the problem. I think oftentimes in our spiritual journey, we're throwing everything at it or we're frustrated by everything, but we've not understood how to respond. I wanted to write a book to give tools how to respond, to stop you doing that exact same thing, to stop you, you know, frailing around for things that aren't making a difference. And one of the biggest things the enemy does, he tries to wear us down in the middle with many distractions. It's not just that the rainstorm, you know, is big. It's that the clouds are big. It's that the waves are big. It's that the people in the boat with us are freaking out too. It's all at the same time. And I think what the enemy tries to do is to get us distracted by all of it, rather than say, you know what, I just need to have peace be still in this storm moment and get my bearings and understand by my panicking, I'm making the boat rock even more. I think the best thing to do is for me to pick up the oar and carry on going to where I was going in the first place. That takes wisdom. It takes maturity. It takes you not to be on the emotional roller coaster that the middle tries to put you on. And so I think all of those lessons I'm trying to package into the book to say, here's some things I've learned not to do, and here's some things I've learned to do in those middle moments.
Excellent. Talking to Charlotte Gamble. Title of her book is The Miracle in the Middle. Charlotte, we're going to take a break in just a moment, but I've got to have you speak to this. You say that God gives us soul food in the beginning to sustain us later on the journey, and that's why it's important to, quote unquote, press record. And you say record the voice of God, the words of encouragement, and the signs that got you there. Take a few minutes to unpack this, if you would, because we do have to remember in the darkness what he told us in the light, and that's why it's so important to press record. Say more.
Yeah, I think I use the story of the disciples a lot in this book when Jesus was on the shore with them and they was doing the miracle of feeding the thousands. And then he turns to the disciples and he says, okay, you know, get in the boat and I want you to go to Bethsaida. And that's all he said to them. Go to Bethsaida, I'll meet you there. He wasn't going in the boat with them. And the point is that Jesus had given them an instruction that it was a clear instruction. Now, what happened between Bethsaida and the last shore was a storm. And the Bible says that in the middle, the storm was when it happened. But Jesus wasn't going to get in the boat with them. He wasn't planning on going with them because he didn't say, in the middle you will sink and then you'll get to Bethsaida. He said, go to Bethsaida and I'll meet you there. I think you've got to press record on that clarity that you get when you set off. Okay, God said go here. He didn't maybe warn you of the five things that are going to happen on the way there, but that doesn't mean that his word is void. He still said he'll meet you on the shore of Bethsaida. So you, at those points in your journey, have to go back to the record button and say, what did God say to me? What was his word over me? What was the promise he gave me? Okay, that's what I know is good. That's what I know won't return void. So all this other stuff is happening on the way there, but it doesn't mean that that now is not going to happen. And so the disciples really in that boat had to keep reminding themselves, where did he say he was going to meet us? What did he tell us to go do? And go back to basics and do that. And I think oftentimes, you know, it's like that's why you say vows at the beginning of your marriage. I think if you said them in the middle, you'd probably skip a few. You'd be like, no, take that one out and take that one out. Because you say them at the beginning for a reason. And then in the middle, sometimes you have to go back and say, in sickness and in health. I said it. I meant it. Okay, I'm going to stand on it because I didn't know that this season of sickness was coming, but I did say it. You press record on those vow-making moments and you pull them back out in those middle moments and stand on the truth of what they represent.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Talking to Charlotte Gamble. She's a pastor. She's an author. She's a speaker. Title of her new book is The Miracle in the Middle, Finding God's Voice in the Void. Maybe you need to hear this message today. When we come back, I want to hear a story, Charlotte, from when you needed to remember in the darkness what the Lord told you in the light. Then we'll get some more practical takeaway about how to navigate those waters. If you're in the land between, don't give up. That's the place where God can meet you, strengthen you, and mature you. More with Charlotte Gamble in a moment. So here's my question for you. Do you have to be able to feel God's power for God's power to be a reality? Do his promises need to feel true for them to be true? The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us, and his promises are true even when they don't feel true. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Charlotte Gamble about her book, The Miracle in the Middle, Finding God's Voice in the Void. And she's saying, and I just love this and agree with it so wholeheartedly, that in that land in between, and the not yet season is not a place just for biding your time. This is a time to grow in intimacy with God, to be strengthened in God's promises. This is a place where God can meet you. And to me, this is the place where faith heroes are made. And we talked about beginnings and how exciting the beginnings are. And before the break, Charlotte, you were saying how important it is to press record in that land between. Remember what God told you when you first started out so you can persevere and walk it out. Before we dig more into this middle ground, I want to talk about endings for a minute, because you say that endings have their own energy because they offer us a chance to stop and take it all in. Talk about endings for a moment.
The Bible says that there's a joy in completion. And so to me, endings always have a supernatural on top of the natural joy. You know, it's the ending of the process. You know, when you do graduate, I'll never forget when I graduated, it was like, oh my gosh, I actually graduated. Can anybody believe it? Is everybody as shocked as me? You know, we're coming up to the end of school here in the UK. I know you probably already are out for summer in the US, but we're coming up right up to it in the next few weeks that we've got ahead of us. And, you know, that sense of ending and that sense sense of completion. And, you know, you just, it's like a milestone. You're like, wow, we got here. The baby's born. Wow, the baby arrived. Pregnancy's over, you know. So endings have a celebration all to themselves. But I think we've got to crack out the celebration and the party spirit in the middle as well, because sometimes we need it more there than we do at the end.
Oh, we so do. And I asked you before the break if you wouldn't mind sharing a time in your own life when you needed to remember in the darkness what the Lord told you in the light, where you needed to hit record and say, okay, what did you tell me again when we first started? What were your promises to me so that I can keep walking? Can you give us an example from your own life?
Sure. I mean, there's many I could give you, to be honest, because I think the truth is, as your listeners can probably amen to as they're listening, that all of us have different middle moments right now that we're all going through, you know, in the different seasons of our life. So it's not particular to one zone of your life. But for my husband and I, a personal one that we went through was that we were told we would never have children. And so we went through 5 years of infertility and 5 years of going, okay, God, where are you and what is going on? And years earlier, my husband had had a word over his life that his family, his sons would be a fruitful vine around his table, and that God was going to use him, and he was going to have children that would, you know, bring a legacy. And so, you know, you hear those words and you think, well, that's nice. But then when you're faced with a doctor saying you're not going to have children and this is not going to be something that's possible for you, you're like, okay, these two things don't measure up. You know, I have one report from you and another word from the history of my husband, you know, pulling up, but I wasn't there and never heard. So I'm like, okay, God, well, which one is it? And so for us, we had a 5-year journey through a middle season that was very difficult, you know, pastoring a church, praying for people, seeing them receive their miracles and us still not have ours, years of treatments and different treatments and failed treatments. You know, it takes that knock in your face and you have to go, okay, I either believe that God is good, I either believe that God is able, I either believe that God's got me in the palm of his hands, or I don't. And so for us, all of that we had to walk through in that season. And, you know, the scripture that came to mind was, sing, O barren woman. And I just had to realize that actually my best gift back to God in that season in the middle was to keep my song, to keep my joy, to keep my confession, one of positivity, to keep my proclamation, one that God is able. And so I had to learn how to sing in the middle of a storm. I had to learn in my barrenness to find a song. And oftentimes in the middle is when you least feel like singing and when you least feel like going to church and when you least feel like saying amen. But that's actually the time that you need it most.
Wow, Charlotte, appreciate you so much telling that story. We've got another break coming up on us in just about a minute and a half. But I want to know, just before you conceived or just before you knew that you were pregnant, let's put it that way, where were you at with the Lord at that point regarding this promise? Were you settled into a place of peace, angst? I mean, where were you at just before you learned of your miracle breakthrough?
You know what? Me and my husband, I just decided I was crazy. I decided, you know, I so believe God that he would just, it was in his hands and, you know, he would have his way, and I'd so given it to God. And I said, you know what, God, I'm going to sow the seed into someone else's life that I would love to receive in mine. So I was probably mid-throwing about the, I would think, maybe the 18th baby shower party for complete strangers. I just decided whoever was pregnant that came across my world, I would be the one that would buy them gifts, and I would host their party if they would let me. I was this crazy lady. And so I was in a place where I was celebrating what I didn't have and celebrating the joy of what someone else did have, knowing whatever you sow will always come back to you.
Oh, my goodness. I am completely and totally inspired and challenged, and wow, I love you. Okay, the title of Charlotte's book is The Miracle in the Middle, and we've got more to talk about navigating that middle ground. And you know what? This isn't just an obligation. This is an invitation intimacy to know God. This is where I said faith heroes are born. More with Charlotte Gamble in just a moment. tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise, enjoying my conversation so very much with Charlotte Gamble. Title of her new book is The Miracle in the Middle, Finding God's Voice in the Void. And we're talking about that time in between, and that it's not just a time to drag your feet. It is a time where you could get offended with God, you can get an attitude, and you can shoot yourself in the foot, or you can cultivate an intimacy with God. You can trust Him. You can take the next step and the next step, and you can engage your faith and trust that His promises are true, even when they don't feel true. And I asked Charlotte before the break, just for an example from your own life, when you remembered in the darkness what the Lord told you in the light, and you're talking about your battle with infertility for 5 years, and doctors saying you'll never have kids, but then your hubby receiving a word from the Lord that you would indeed have kids. And in that time in between, I said, where were you at with God before you got your miracle? And you said you were throwing one baby shower after another for complete strangers at times, but just going, you know, really sowing seeds and celebrating other people's breakthroughs while you waited for your own. I think that may have been a word for somebody today, because we can get to a place of such self-pity. But there is something about that gesture of faith, saying, I'm going to be a blessing to others. I'm going to trust that God is good. So here you are throwing one crazy shower after another. And then tell me how you just got your news, and just tell me about that.
Well, we were right at the end of a long period of time, and we were told we could have one more course of treatment that we were on at the time, and if that failed, it was over. And the one before this was actually, I realized it failed right at our women's conference. I was told that it not worked, and we had one more left to go. And I felt, with tears down my face, I was like, God, I don't get it. I've got thousands of women out there. This is going on. And I just felt God say back to me, you can stay here and cry, or you can turn this sorrow into seed. And I found with God that there's always seed in your sorrow, that if you'll give it to Him, He'll plant it in your tomorrow. And so that's what I did. I said, okay, God, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to kick some devil butt, and I'm going to preach a great message, and I'm going to give this to you. And it was the next cycle of treatment when I actually found out that I was pregnant with our baby girl, and that's why we called her Hope. Hope Cherish was our first child, and she just was a summation of that journey of hope that we've been on. I think we cried a lot. I think we jumped up and down a lot. We told everybody and every stranger that we met, you know, just that unbelievable joy of the completion of that process that we were in those moments of. But I was really glad and really thankful that we'd not wasted 5 years being bitter, and not wasted 5 years saying, you know, why not? Why isn't this happening? But actually, we turned those 5 years into a season of our life where we dug deep and we got a lot of seed out of it. And still today, you know, I'm helping people, giving faith to people that are in the same journey that I was on, because I remember what it was like, and I've pulled out some seed from that sorrow.
Wow. So the Lord says you can stay here and cry, or turn the sorrow into seed. Again, I'm just thinking, Charlotte, that's a word for somebody. So many people are in the not yet season. This book is going to resonate with so many. Well, one of the things you wrote, you said, I want my middle to be a place that builds me rather than breaks me. And by you sowing seed, by you just totally trusting God, but digging deep, that takes some kind of grit. I mean, this is not for sissies, is it?
No, I'm not really a sissy preacher.
I get the feeling.
I've never been called that before. So
yeah, me neither.
I don't know whether it's the Yorkshire in me or what. I don't know. But I think the time for that, you know, if there was ever a time for that, is very much over. I think we need to mature as believers. I think we need to grow up in our faith. And, you know, sometimes that's tough to hear that. But, you know, honestly, it's the best advice you can give people, because when you want your kids to thrive, when you want your kids to do well, you make sure they're getting the right nutrients, you make sure they're getting the right food, because if they stop growing, there's something wrong. You would be worried as a parent that somehow they're retarding their growth in their natural physical build. And so it's exactly the same for me as a leader in the spiritual. When I see people that are below where they could be and not growing and not feeding themselves food that will grow them, like a parent that cares and loves deeply, I want to say, hey, you need to eat something different. You need to change your diet. You need to change your confession, because there's so much more growth in you than where you seem to have leveled off. Don't let this situation tell you that it's the ceiling for your life. Make the ceiling, make the ceiling the floor for your next season of life.
Indeed, indeed. You also write regarding this middle phase. You said, we have to let go of our need to be clear and allow our willingness to trust to take over. So in other words, in fact, you said this, sometimes we want to make sense of the things that are still developing, and the labels we try to give in the middle cause more problems than they solve. So we need to give up our need to be clear and to kind of even put a label on it. So there is an ambiguity to it, and yet somehow we've got to trust. So speak to that temptation and what that looks like and what the implications are when we try to put it in a box in a way that we need not to.
Well, I think within us all is either a small or large control freak. For me, it's a large one. I blame it on being the eldest sister. But I think all of us can have those controlling tendencies. And when things don't look like we think they should look like, we almost become like, you know, a cleanup act for God. Like, okay, I'm going to tidy this up for you, God. You know, if you remember Mary and Martha when Lazarus died, and in their reckoning, Jesus was late. And therefore, you know, he'd missed his moment, and now it was a disaster. And, you know, Mary and Martha are freaking out. You know, Martha says, you know, it's okay, Jesus. You know, I've got this covered. You know, we've had the funeral. We've buried the body. You know, we all know that, you know, you let us down. And Jesus is like, no, you're trying to control this situation and do damage limitation. And did I tell you, you know, that I would come? Did I tell you that this would be an occasion to glorify God? And he eyeballed her and said, you know, do you really believe that I'm good for my word? And, you know, when he called forth Lazarus out of that tomb, even before he was about to call him forth, she said, oh, no, there's going to be a bad odor. It's going to be a bad smell. Like, let me control this. Let me light some candles. Let me help this not be as bad as it should be. She was kind of like doing a control freak on Jesus, because to her, you know, she'd labeled it a disaster. She'd labeled it, and, you know, Jesus wasn't here in time. But to him, that middle moment was the greatest setup for a great miracle. And so I think sometimes we try and tidy things up too early. We say it's dead when it's just sleeping. We say, you know, it's over when actually it's just temporarily gone to sleep. You know, we make things that are a temporary passing place a permanent stopping place. And that's why I think in those moments we need to be careful not to try and over-define what's not actually ready to be defined.
Wow, that's just absolutely amazing. And you further say that the assumption can be deadly, a deadly assassin to our destiny. So is that what you mean when you're in that place and you sort of, you assess it, you assume this is the beginning, the middle, and the end when it isn't yet?
Yeah, I mean, in there I refer to the story of when Mary was at the tomb after the resurrection had happened, but she didn't know that he was, you know, risen. And she went to the tomb and she's talking to Jesus, who she assumes is the gardener, the Bible says. And in her assumption that he's the gardener, she can't even get her mind around that this would be the risen Christ. And sometimes, because something is so not what we expected it, we assume all the wrong things. And she was assuming that she actually accused this who she thought was the gardener, she accused Jesus of stealing Jesus. And that's how crazy we get when we assume things. We're like, she was assuming that this person in front of her was the problem, when actually it was actually the glorified answer. And sometimes we assume that the problem is the problem, when actually the problem is going to be the answer. And we don't have the wisdom of heaven. We don't have the foresight. We don't have the big picture. So we have to be careful in our assumptions that we don't say, you know, oh gosh, have you stolen my answer, when actually that is the answer.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. You say that our ability to follow well is either helped or hindered by our proximity to God. So here again, in this middle time, we can loosen our grip on the things that matter and white knuckle grip what we think is, you know, where we get to a place of begging and pleading, or we're trying to find a shortcut or a temporary solution. So our ability to follow well is either helped or hindered by our proximity to God. Unpack that a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I use the analogy in my book of where Jesus' parents again assumed that when he was a young boy, after they'd been up to the Passover celebrations, they assumed he was following them. They assumed he was going home with them. And the Bible records that actually he wasn't with them, that he'd stayed back, that he actually was in his father's house. But for 3 days, they didn't even know he was missing. They just assumed he was with them. I mean, that would freak you out that you lost Jesus. Hmm. I mean, I've lost some sunglasses and keys in my time, but losing the same of the world's a whole nother problem. And, you know, and they didn't know where he was, and they found him in the father's house, and he said to them, did you not know where I would be? And for them, they'd had so many years with Jesus up to the age of 12 where he'd followed them as a boy, but they had failed to realize the time had come for them to follow him. And I think sometimes we expect God to follow us, to follow our initiative, to follow our project, to follow our idea, to bless our ministry. We're all the time assuming that that's good with God. And I think we've got to slow down and realize, no, it's our job to follow him, that actually we need to put it at his feet. And if he says, go, then go. If he says yes, then yes. But I think too often we get so busy doing things for God that we forget to work with God, and there's a big difference.
Very big difference. In fact, you referenced Psalm 27. One thing I ask, one thing I long for, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to behold his beauty. And then you further wrote that King David knew that his internal posture was crucial to his external progress. And I'm thinking about that something stiffens up in us when God isn't giving us what we want, which is also a test of our heart. As, and you mentioned this too, that it shows what's in us. When we're in the middle, it shows what's in the middle of us. And so say another word about the internal posture being crucial to our external progress, because there is a point where we have to humble ourselves and entrust ourselves if we really want to see the fullness of what God has for us.
Yeah, I think, you know, we can all fool one another with our external posture, but in the middle you actually find out what your internal posture is. It's a great revealer of where you actually are, whether you are in a place of peace, whether you are in a place of trust, whether you are in a place of stress. And I guess when the disciples were in the boat in that middle and the storm, you know, started, their internal posture was that they were freaking out. And yet they'd just been with Jesus, you know, hours earlier. And so if that can happen to them, those that knew him, walked with him, I know it can happen to us. And, you know, he confronted, when he came onto the water, he confronted to them the internal posture. And he said to them, look, he said, it is I. He said, do not be afraid. And he said, take courage. Three things to fix their internal posture. Okay, why are you in fear? Why have you doubted who gave you the word in the first place? And why is it that you have not taken courage when you know that I gave you the word in the first place? He was trying to get them to sit back up on the inside, to stand back on the word, realize who they were, realize who was with them in that scenario, and advance forward. And I think sometimes in the middle we have to hear that corrective posture from God, you know, get up, stand up, or lay it down, or give it to me, or surrender that ego, or surrender that agenda. I think all of what God gives us in the middle, our posture adjusting to for our future, so that when we go forward, we have a better posture. You know, you talk about Jacob when he was had that wrestle with God, and that wrestle with God was about his identity, his true identity, because all his life he'd been named a deceiver, and he'd had a posture of a deceiver, and he'd lived a life of a deceiver. But before he went back to his family, and before he went back to actually restoration and restore, God wrestled with him and said, hey, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And God said, no, that's not who you are. Your internal posture is not a deceiver. You're actually going to be renamed Israel. And it says that God gave him a limp, and it affected from that day how he walked. And there's something that happens in the middle that affects your posture from there on out. You walk differently. You speak differently. There's a discovery you make about who you are in God that changes the way you are forever. And I think God has that for every single one of us in the middle. So don't fight it. Don't try and run from it. Embrace it.
Oh, love that. I'm thinking of that passage in Psalm 106 where it talks about the Israelites. And the people refused to enter the pleasant land because they wouldn't believe his promise to care for them. So instead, they grumbled in their tents and refused to obey the Lord. So first of all, they refused to believe there was a promise written over their lives and that there was a next place of promise. And they wouldn't trust that he would care for them. So they grumbled in their tents against the Lord. How often we do that when we're not getting what we want. And part of one of the reasons that we may be in the land of between is because we're not moving when he's saying move, and we're not daring to take him at his word. We're so focused on what we don't have. And then we get offended with God for not having it. Speak to that whole process, because that does speak to the internal posture as well.
Yeah, and I would also say with that, you know, we get frustrated because we're not getting what we want. But the truth is that oftentimes the thing that we want is often so much less than the thing that God wants us to have. You know, we settle for something far less than what God has for us. And so we don't even know, you know, in that sense of, you know, what we want, we don't even know actually the best of what God has for us. So I think we've got to deal with our impatience, like that impatient child that we talked about earlier. We've got to deal with our peace. We've got to find a peace that passes understanding. We've got to find a peace that's not rooted in gratification or in getting what we desire right now. We've got to deal with our short-term, you know, faith, because our faith often is like, you know, it's based on results. And we've got to have a long-term faithfulness instead that says, you know, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm committed to the process. And we've got to move past that level that demands. You know, we can be demanding. You know, I demand that I see this, or I want that. And the children of Israel were like that. And our demands are not going to lead us to a place of devotion. but our devotion will take us much further. That if we're devoted to serve and if we're devoted to our Savior and if we're devoted to worship, then it starts to lessen the things that we feel like we need to demand. And so I think all of us have to go, just as you teach a child the exact same things in the natural, God's trying to teach every child in the spiritual the same lessons that will give us great success for our future.
God has more. God has more for you, friend. And we just have to take one more quick short break before we bring Charlotte back to talk about one of the things that you mentioned in your book is that familiarity can cause us to recline in a place where we should be bowing down. Sometimes we get familiar with our circumstances to the point we don't realize we're passing through them. Sometimes we get so casual before God that we forget that He's star-breathing God. I'm going to have Charlotte speak to that. Title of her new book, again, is The Miracle in the Middle. One more quick short break, and we'll be back. Walk in His presence as we live here on earth. Christ be all around me. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So honored and blessed to talk with Charlotte Gamble today. Really love this book. I think it'll have a massive and broad appeal. The title is The Miracle in the Middle, Finding God's Voice in the Void. It's in that second mile. It's in the middle part of your journey when you don't hear His voice. Maybe you're weary and well-doing, and the temptation is to camp in your circumstances, to surrender in your circumstances versus to surrender to God in them. And one of the things that you wrote, Charlotte, was that familiarity can cause us to recline in a place where we should be bowing down. Unpack that one for us, if you would.
Well, I think sometimes the middle puts you into this place where you just feel like, what's the point? And you know, the enemy is not daft. When the disciples were in the middle of the lake is when he started a storm, because there's something the enemy knows about the middle that the church need to understand. And that is that in the middle, if you take one more stroke past your middle point, you are closer to your end destination than you were your beginning.
Hmm.
So that's why he gets busy in the middle. He hates it if you go past the middle, because you've gained more ground now, and he wants you to lose the ground that you've gained. The middle is always where he gets busy. And that's why in the middle, when the storm hits, oftentimes we try and we relax our effort. We feel overwhelmed by the storm. We feel like, I have no energy to push this one more stroke. I have no energy to try one more time. And in the middle, we begin to recline, as it were. We begin to relax our effort, relax our prayer. We begin to give in to the wind and the waves. And that's where we've got to understand, no, the enemy has a ploy in the middle that we need to wise up to. And, you know, the greatest revelation and the greatest miracle for those disciples in that middle of that lake moment was that their miracle in the middle was that they had a revelation of Jesus walking on the water to them, a revelation of who he is that they'd never had before. And I believe you don't see that if you recline. If you go to sleep in the middle and you don't see that, you don't see the water walking Jesus, you fall asleep. And so what they did was when they saw him coming on the water, yes, they freaked out, but then they realized, oh, my gosh, this is Jesus. This is a water walking Jesus. And they fell at his feet. They were in awe of who he was and the power of who he was. And I think instead of fall backwards, we need to fall forwards into the scene of what Jesus can do in the middle. And so for me, I think, you know, I want to say to those that the enemy is lulling to sleep in the middle, wake up. Do not let the progress that you fought so hard for be lost, because in the middle you become so barraged by the storm that it makes you recline.
Wow. And there's something on the other side that you'll stand there and say, this was worth the fight. And I wonder, Charlotte, how many people miss the best of what God has because they quit fighting and they recline and they go to sleep, or they turn around and want Egypt again. They want to go back. And one final quote that I'd love for you to speak to before we pray here from your book, you write, as much as we can associate the middle with hard times and struggles, we can also enjoy great moments in the middle, moments where we can see God's providence and provision, where his favor strengthens us and his kindness provides for us. Those moments in the middle can bring a sense of comfort and satisfaction that can go on to convince us that we have journeyed far enough. So say a word as we wrap up about the prize at the end of the journey and the power of perseverance.
Absolutely. I think, you know, you have to remember that, you know, God is God. And if he's calling us to go further, and if he's calling us to go deeper, which he always is, he's calling us to see it through to the completion point. It's because he knows something about that that we don't. He knows that there's something at the end of that that's going to move your life to the next level. There's something of a breakthrough that he has waiting for you that the enemy would love to rob from you. So don't allow the fact that you can't see it yet stop you now. Understand the joy in pushing through. You know, joy is your strength. Don't lose your joy in the middle. Don't lose your laughter in the middle. Find people that know how to bring that positivity to your world in the middle. There's enough people that will try and drag you down. There's enough people that will say, oh my gosh, I was tired too. I'd quit if I were you. But find the voices. That's why I wrote the book, to be a cheerleader, to say, come on, you can do. Pick back up the awe. You can do it. You're closer than you think. There's something about that that the enemy wants you never to discover, but God has so much more. You know, on the shore of Bethsaida with thousands of people that were going to get thousands of miracles and breakthroughs when Jesus showed up. And he wanted the disciples to be part of that. He wanted them to see those miracles. But you know what? If they'd have stopped in the middle, they'd have never got there. And so for us that right now find ourselves in the middle, let me say to you, just keep going, keep rowing, keep giving, keep sowing, keep believing, keep pushing through, and somehow find a laughter in that storm, because it will give you the strength to keep going.
You know, someone once said that 1,000 people are waiting on the other side of our obedience. So this persevering journey of trusting God involves more than just us, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a story in the Bible of some daughters that were told that they could not have their father's land because it wasn't part of the law. And they took their request and they persisted and they persisted and they pushed past people that said it'll never happen. And the Bible records that these 5 daughters, they got the land, but not only did they get the land, they changed the law of the land for every other girl that would come after them. Some things that we're going to push through that are going to change the landscape of our nations, our countries, our churches for generations to come. And that's why we must not give up.
I can't even explain to you how much I've loved this moment with you, Charlotte. And I know you're such a busy girl, so thank you. And as we wrap up, would you pray for that person listening who is in the middle, and as they're hearing your voice, they're realizing they need their own spiritual reset and reframing their perspective and circumstances so they can keep walking. Would you pray for that person?
Absolutely. Father, we just right now, we bring every person listening to this broadcast to you that's in the middle. Father, I pray that for today they would find a strength in their middle that they did not have yesterday, that they'd understand that your hand is on them and your hand is with them. Lord, I pray there would be boldness that would arise, there would be faith that would arise, there'd be a sense of purpose that would be reignited today after this broadcast. I pray that there would be miracles that would be discovered in the middle, that they would understand that, God, you can quiet any storm and you will be their strength in their middle moments. So God, we pray peace, we pray provision, and we pray a sense of passion being renewed so that those can persevere to the miracle that awaits them on the other side. In Jesus' name, let it be. Amen.
Let it be. Amen. Dear Charlotte, thank you for your time today, and I pray our paths will cross someday.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time, and I pray the book is a blessing to many.
It will be. Title of Charlotte's book again is The Miracle in the Middle, Finding God's Voice in the Void.
Above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me. Above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me. Yeah.
Wow, what a great show today. I'm so glad you tuned in. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Hey, in just a little bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website, myfaithradio.com. Be a radio missionary, someone who needs a spiritual reset or somebody who's in that land between that needs a word, a fresh word of encouragement. Send it out by a click of a button. You can send it by Facebook, email, or Twitter. Find all that up on our website, myfaithradio.com. Give me some feedback on the spiritual reset. We keep hearing from you. You want us to do more of those. Let me know what you think, okay? You can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Now remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.